Blog Talk Radio.
How many of you tonight are grateful? Come on, let's just lift those holy hands. Come on, let's just begin to tell the Lord thank you for it. Those things that he does, those things, those wonderful things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, keep those hands lifted in the sacrifice of prayer. And listen to this prayer. You're grateful.
Grateful.
Lord, I'm grateful.
Lord, I'm grateful. Grateful.
For the things.
For the things you've done for me.
Grateful. Put your hands together. Come on, put your hands together. Come on, you say it with us this time. Say, Lord, I praise you.
Praise you.
Come on, West Angeles. Lord, I praise you.
Lord, I praise you.
Come on, think about what he's done. Praise you.
Praise you.
For the things you've done for me. Come on, one more time. Everybody, praise you. Lord, I praise you.
Lord, I praise you.
Praise you.
Praise you.
I give my all to thee.
I give my all to thee.
Come on, everybody.
Lord, praise you. Lord, I praise you.
For everything. Wherever you are listening to me, come on, just lift those hands up right now. Come on, whatever you're doing, just take a minute and praise the Lord and tell him yes. Hallelujah. Come on, tell him yes. Come on, just open your mouth and start to worship him now. Come on, God wants to do something in here tonight. Come on, open up your mouth. Open up your mouth and tell him how much you love him, how grateful you are. Come on, open up your mouth and praise the Lord. Come on, don't get tired. Don't get tired. He's worthy of it. He deserves it. He deserves it. Help me, choir. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because I'm grateful.
Because I'm grateful.
Come on. I lift my hands and praise you.
I lift my hands and praise.
Because.
Because I'm grateful.
I lift my hands and praise you.
I lift my hands and praise.
Because I'm grateful.
Because I'm grateful.
Come on, everybody. Hallelujah.
Oh!
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I, too, am so grateful. I, too, am so grateful. I lift my hands because I am grateful. It's just because you are who you are, and I'm grateful for all that you bestow upon us, that all that you show us, all that you do for us. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful, God. I'm so grateful. Are you grateful? It is I, Evangelist Von Dumas, and we are grateful to be just in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Just to be in the land of the living. Just to have our strength and our health. I am so grateful to know that I can look around and I've laid my eyes on my kids, my loved ones. I've heard their voice, or I've spoke to them, or I've prayed for them. I prayed for you. I prayed for you and you. I prayed for my country. I prayed for my president. I've prayed for the world and all creations that is caught up in the midst of all of the different things that is going out there. I have prayed for you today, and I'm grateful for you today. I thank God for you on today. Our scripture is coming from 1 Peter, and we're going to start at chapter 4. And it reads, again, 1 Peter, New Testament, chapter 4, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude. God is speaking to us. Let's receive the word of God. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for human evil, human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled, so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sin. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. And if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. And if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen, amen. God bless this ministry, every listener, and everyone who chooses to do the word that they hear tonight. Dear Father, I ask you to bless them. Continue to bless the sin that may try to overcome them. Bless their minds, that sin may be removed out of their way. And they're able to step over some of the things that they fell into yesterday. That we're able to now push aside some of the wrongdoing just so we can come closer to you. Because we want to show you that we are grateful. We want to show you that we are choosing to let go some of the things that we've been doing in the past. You said that we've lived that life long enough as the pagans do. You said, lift up your eyes and come and trust and follow you, that you may be praised, that you may get the glory. To you be the glory in our lives, because you have the power, and it reigns forever and evermore. We ask you to allow me to decrease and ask you to use my body as your vessel and increase and speak your word, that healing will just come over our land. Peace will overflow in our hearts. Clearness will come over our conscious minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Blessings today on Danielle. Danielle, God bless you, God bless you. Blessings today on all mothers. Blessings today on all marriages. Hallelujah, the marriages that are struggling. Blessings today for you. Blessings today for you. God bless you. Don't allow anyone to take your strength. Your strength. Whatever it is that you may be going through right now, don't allow anyone to take your strength. You got strength? Then you have God. If you got strength, then you have God. Because when you're weak in your body, you can always depend on sharing the strength of God. Because that's who he is. He allows us to come into him and draw his strength. Hallelujah. If he gave us all of his strength, we would blow up. We couldn't take it. But just a portion of his strength is all we need to succeed. It's that inner strength, inner strength. It's time for us to get a true picture of ourselves. We need to forget about the lies that the devil would like for us to see. You see, you can share your strength with someone here, but never let anyone drain you dry of your strength. You ever been in a relationship, a sorry relationship, that it just drains you? It's just a draining situation. You're getting nothing out of it. You're just putting in, putting in, putting in. Never let anything or anyone drain you dry of your strength. Sharing is one thing. We got to start seeing ourselves differently. Seeing ourselves as leaders. Seeing ourselves that even if we are alone by ourselves, that we're still victorious creatures because we are God's creation. We got to stop looking at ourselves as the way that the enemy is projecting ourselves. When you know that now that marriage failed, that you're not going to be anyone. You're considered a failure. You lost that job, so now look at you. You're never going to be anyone. How would you ever make it? Those are the visions that he wants you to see. But we got to start looking at the true picture of ourselves. Forget about the lie that the devil would like for us to see. You see, he is continuously trying to convince us that we are powerless and that we're subject to his every whim, that he's powerful and there's nothing that we can do. When he gets to working and moving in our lives, that we just must bow down because there's nothing we must do. But if you are a born-again believer, oh, I come to tell you that nothing could be further from the truth. Philippians 4:13 is our first verse tonight, and it simply tells us, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. See, I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses the inner strength in me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiencies. You are mighty in Jesus. The devil's worst nightmare is a child of God who understands. Let's make sure we finish it. It's a child of God who understands their covenant rights. And then they act on God's word. So, again, it's something that has to be done. The devil's worst nightmare is a child of God who understands their covenant rights, and then they're willing to act on God's word. As a born-again child of God, you've been infused with inner strength. And I know you know that. Somebody's out there shouting right now saying, I know. It is the inner strength that he's given me that's got me where I am today. Hallelujah. You have been infused with an inner strength to overcome the world. All of the things going on around you. You may be the only Christian on your job, but you're happy. You don't mind still spreading the word. You're not spooky, but you live your life accordingly to the word, regardless of what they say, regardless of what they do. Hallelujah. You're still able to overcome the world through your inner strength that was given to you by our precious Father. The transforming power. Anybody need transforming power? It comes from the word of God. and it's more effective than anything in the world. Hallelujah. It's transforming powers. You know how the kids, when I know my boys, when they were smaller, and they would sometimes put something around their neck and make it a cape, and whenever they did, they act like they had more power just because of this. Hallelujah. One of my brothers, the consulant, he used to become Super Grover when he put on this little cape. He became instantly with more power. Well, in real life, that's exactly what we can do. We have transforming powers, and those powers is the Word of God. It's more efficient than anything that comes up against us. Hallelujah. It's more effective than anything that can come up against us. Think about it. You may be in the middle of the grocery store at a ball game when you notice someone that needs the power of God applied to their life. You know that Christ has empowered you to be ready for anything and equal to anything that comes your way. Suddenly, you swing into action and that situation is mastered by a born-again child of God. You don't just wait. You pray for them now. They come up to you and say, "Sister, could you pray for me for this?" You don't just say yes. You said, "Sure, let's pray now." You pray for them now, wherever it's at. Hallelujah. Because you know that you're equipped, and God has told us to be ready for anything. And he will get us through any situation. Hallelujah, because he places his super on top of your natural. And then the works of the devil are destroyed once again. The church at Thessalonians experienced the superhuman power of God's word at work. The Apostle Paul wrote to us, and he said, "As we also," especially, it's what that "also" is really meaning, "as we also thank God continuously for this, that when you receive the message of God from us, that you welcome it as a word of men," not as a word of mere men, but as that you welcome the word as it truly is, the word of God, as you hear it, which is effectively at work in you who believe. That means that exercising and relying on it, the superpowers. It's the superhuman powers in those who adhere to, for those who trust in, those who rely on him, he will put his super on top of your natural and give you supernatural powers. Hallelujah. That's who God is. That's what he has for you. Now, again, that's 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 3, Amplified. Paul also wrote to us in Colossians. He wrote to us about the superhuman energy given to him by God for the work of ministry. Anybody in the ministry know you need some superhuman energy if you're effectively doing the work in the ministry. Hallelujah. It says, "For this I labor, striving with all the superhuman energy which he so mightily enkindles and works within me." See, Paul had a huge assignment, but God never expected him to accomplish it in his own natural strength. All the superhuman energy needed to get the job done was mightily at work in Paul's ministry. He was greatly used by God to reach his generation with the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. See, sometimes ministers and leaders and teachers, we work so hard thinking that we're doing the work of God, and we get caught up and we do the work of ourselves. And we got to remember that it is about God's work. Hallelujah. So after a while, we get overpowered because the assignment seems to be so huge in our lives. And so we get overpowered, but we have to rely back on just as it was in Colossians, just as it was for Paul. Use him as an example. God never expects us to accomplish all of this in our the works that he has bestowed to us in our natural strength. But he wants to set his super on top of our natural. Hallelujah. You're feeling run down. You know you've been up and down. You've been called in the middle of the night. You know on your job you're doing the work of the Lord. You need some supernatural power. Hallelujah. That's what he has for you. You have to be greatly used by God to reach all the ones that God has for you. He has generations and generations that he wants you to reach. The word that you're a seed that you're sowing. And it's all about the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. See, I don't know why people are so surprised when the devil attacks. That's what he's doing for a living. That's what he does. The devil's not doing anything strange or anything new. He's still a destroyer. 1 Peter 4:12 tells us that, beloved, this is not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. And though some strange things happen unto you, it says, think it not strange. See, fiery trials are designed by the devil to shock you. They want to put you in awe. They want to awe you into believing his lies just because of the fear of shock. Instead of giving in to his tactics, you can turn the tables on the devil. You can worry his worries. Why don't you aggravate some of his aggravations? Trouble some of his troubles. How do you do that? James 4:7 tells us that we should submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, once you learn how to withstand him firmly in faith, his days of killing, his days of stealing, his days of destroying are over. He's destined to lose. You are anointed to win. Let's say that again. He is destined to lose, but you are anointed to win. Jesus has made you more than a conqueror and deprived the world of his power to harm you. So you have world overcoming faith. Woo! As a Christian on this Christian walk, if you're walking out here as a Christian and you're not receiving his supernatural power, you will work yourself down. You will die. You will give yourself so much stress. You'll get caught up and you'll feel like, I'm not getting anything done. He's not expecting you to do that in your own your nature. You're not built to do that. This is his word. He's chosen you. He's called you to do his work. Allow him to bestow in you the goods that you need to do his work. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You have to meditate on that. Meditate that you have the world overcoming faith. You got to meditate on that. Let the truth of God's word strengthen your heart today. And remember that Jesus mastered every disastrous situation that he encountered. There was not one that overcame him. He spoke peace to raging seas. He commanded blind eyes to see. He commanded crippled legs to walk. The dead was raised. Multitudes were fed. And the devil was cast out. Even when an angry crowd in Nazareth drove him out of town and tried to hurl him over a cliff. You remember? Jesus just passed through them and went on to the next town to do what? To preach the gospel. How many times does something happen to us and we want to give up? But to preach the gospel, he just kept going. No plan of the devil could stop him. No plan of the devil should be able to stop your purpose. His purpose, which was established before the foundation of the world. John 1, 1 John, 3:8 tells us, it says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So what is that saying? It's telling us that Jesus came to remove every burden and to destroy every yoke of bondage placed on mankind by the devil. That is good news. That is good news. His precious blood redeemed us from the curses of the law. And his precious blood restored God's blessings to those that call upon his name in faith. 1 John 4:4 and then 5:4, we're going to read. It tells us, it says, ye are of God, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Become greater is he that is in you. Hallelujah. Whew, that's just right there. It's something greater inside of me than it is in the world. So let's go again. It said, because greater is he that is in you than that is in the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So when we're born again by the blood of Jesus, what I'm telling you is that we have well overcoming faith. That guarantees us victory. It's victory over sin, victory over sickness, victory over poverty, and every evil work the devil can produce. Our closing scripture for tonight is going to come from the book of Isaiah 54:17. Isaiah 54:17 declares, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. See, all the weapons of sickness, weapons of fear, weapons of lack or terror may be formed. It doesn't say they wouldn't be formed, but although they may be formed, they cannot succeed against those that serve the Lord. Peace is the heritage of every child of God. Peace is the heritage of every child of God. So even though those weapons may form, your weapon may be divorce. Your weapon may be you lost this job today. Your weapon may be that your loved one has lied on you, scandalized your name, turned against you. Your weapon may be that you're just left alone in your home or in a nursing home or left alone. No one's checks on you. You did all you could for everybody as you've lived, and now no one checks on you. Your weapon may be that you're just sitting along in your house. You're sick. And when you were able to give, you gave, but now no one comes to give to you. It may be that it's not money that you're looking for. You just need to hear somebody's voice. That may be your weapon. But the Bible comes to tell us, it reminds us to encourage yourself that all the weapons may form, they cannot succeed against you. If you're serving the Lord, and you need to tell yourself that right now, although this weapon, whatever your weapon is, call it out, may form against me. Here's the important part. Let's say it. It cannot, it will not succeed against me, for I serve the Lord. And these are the words of my Father. And his word will not, cannot return to him void. Peace is mine. Just say it. Peace is mine. You may be going through tears right now, but peace is mine. Peace is the heritage of every child of God. It's your heritage. You deserve it. It's yours. God has granted it to you. He's given it to you. So instead of giving into his tactics, again, you can turn the tables on the devil by wearing his worries. Hallelujah. By aggravating his aggravations. How do you do it? Just don't get aggravated. When he puts something before you that normally would just aggravate you, that would cause you to just worry, that would cause troubles in your life. Stir up trouble by not being troubled. Stir up worries in his life by choosing not to worry about it. Remember, if you pray, don't worry. And if you're going to worry, don't bother to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, you have the strength for all things in Christ. He empowers you. He empowers you. He gives you inner strength. You are self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiencies. You have to think about the word. You got to meditate on the word. A disaster perceived and prevented. See, not everyone likes the message that the Apostle Paul was preaching to the world. Not everyone liked it because he had enemies. Read the word. He had enemies. There was that thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, sent to the buffet to harass him. Paul's life was definitely a fight of faith every step of the way, but it was a good fight. Although the devil tried to destroy his life on many occasions, Paul stayed as long as he wanted to. Philippians 1 and 21 through 26 tells us about his life and just some of the things. Let's just take a quick look there. Hallelujah. One particular unforgettable story from the life of Paul happened while he was a prisoner aboard a ship headed for Rome. That's in Acts. And I'm sure you remember that, Acts 27 and 10. If you're not familiar with it, you should take out some time and familiarize yourself with that. So you can see some of the struggles and how someone even like Paul was able to bring himself through and continue to go and do just like Jesus did. Push through the worries, push through all the trials, and continue to do the work of the Lord. Continue to work for the Lord. Not giving up, not giving in. Not giving up, not giving in. Hallelujah. For the sake of time, we're going to let you read that one, Philippians 1, 21 through 26. And you'll see, once he completed the work commissioned by Jesus, Paul left this world to be with Christ in heaven. When once he completed the work commissioned by Jesus, only commissioned by Jesus, once he can finish the work, then he left this earth to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless, God bless. You got to remember, and just shortly, for the sake of time, we're going to go through Acts real quickly here. When we're talking about Acts, Paul warned and he advised the crew. Now remember, this is when he was a prisoner aboard a ship, and he advised the crew, saying, "Sirs, I perceive, after carefully observation, that this voyage will be attended with disaster and much heavy loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but of our lives also." The Amplified reads it that way. See, Paul did not say that God sent him a warning. He just perceived, after carefully looking at things in the natural, that it would be disastrous to take that voyage. However, no one paid attention to what Paul said. No one's paying attention to some of the things that you're saying right now. You can just see in the natural that it's going to be disastrous if the person continues to do the actions that they're doing. The behavior, if it doesn't change, you can just see that it's going to be disastrous in their future. But no one listens to what you have to say right now. The same as Paul. You're not alone. But it didn't stop it from not coming true. The story continues to tell us that it did come true. Hallelujah. It wasn't very long before a horrendous storm It was like a typhoon came bursting onto the ship. Again, Acts 27:18-20 reads and tells us that as we were being dangerously tossed about by the violence of the storm, the next day they began to throw the freight overboard. And the third day they threw out with their own hands the ship's equipment, which is the tackles and, you know, the furniture. And then when neither sun nor stars was visible for many days, whew, and no small tempest kept raging about us, all hope of being saved was finally banished. All hope of being saved was finally banished. Now, what if they'd heard this from Paul, had listened to Paul before? Before any of this, before all of this happened. That is when Paul stood up with a word from God for all those on board, not just himself, but for all those on board. He stood up with a word from God. And quickly he tells us, he said, "Men, you should have listened to me and should not have put this to sea from Crete and brought on his disaster and harm and misery and loss. But even now, I beg you to be in God and good spirit and take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood by my side an angel of the God, to whom I belong and whom I serve and whom I worship. And he said, 'Do not be afraid. Do not be frightened, Paul. It is necessary for you to stand before Caesar, and behold, God has given you all those who are sailing with you.'" He said, God has given you all of these. All of these that wouldn't even listen. He said, now God has given them to you, into your hands. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith, complete confidence in God, that it will be exactly as it was told me. Go back and read that. Get some strength out of that. Acts 27:21-25. The decision to take that voyage was not Paul's, but because he was a prisoner, he had to go where he was told. Many times the bad decisions of others affects the course of our lives. Amen? That is why it's so vital that we obey God's command to pray for those in government that has authority over us. Their righteous, godly choices make it easier for us all to lead a quiet and undisturbing life. We must pray for those. 1 Timothy 2:1-2 tells us that we must pray for our leaders. I don't care what you see on the TV, even the ministers are getting so caught up into throwing mud on politics. But we're supposed to be praying for our leaders. Regardless of what we voted for them or did not vote for them, we pray for change, even though that ship was headed straight towards disaster. Paul knew how to turn things around with his faith. And as leaders, we should not be standing up in the pulpit telling our congregation how to destroy and throw mud. We should be leading them and letting them know how to turn the situations around if it's not in your favor. If you can see that something disasters is going to be heading before you. Paul knew how to turn things around with what? His faith. Although everyone else on board had given up all hope of survival, Paul had God's word that all 276 lives would be saved. And if they stayed with the ship, see, the storm was still not over, but Paul's faith-filled words restored their hope in the midst of the storm. And it brought courage to their hearts in the midst of the storm. He's a refuge in our times of trouble. Remember that God will never leave you nor forsake you, especially in those times of difficult and trouble. Psalms 9:9 says, "The Lord also will be a refuge and a high tower for the oppressed, a refuge and a stronghold in time of troubles." You can take refuge in God's word and refuse to allow your heart to be overwhelmed with fear and troubles. Read through 1 Peter 5:7-9, as it tells you to cast the whole of your care which means all of your anxiety, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately, and he cares about you watchfully. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemies of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him. Be firm in faith. Withstand him, knowing that the same suffering are appointed to your brotherhood, which is the whole body of Christ, the Christians, throughout the world. Jesus said, I've told you that these things, so that in me you may have perfect peace, that you may have confidence. He said, in the world you have tribulations and trials and distress and frustrations, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you. I have conquered it for you. John 16:33. The cheerful, courageous faith in Jesus always conquers the distress. It conquers your frustrations of the world. Once you know that Jesus has deprived the world of power to harm you, perfect peace and confidence should rule your heart. It should rule your mind. And you can take courage. You can remain confident in the finishing work of Jesus Christ. So go ahead, stir yourself up in the Holy Ghost and be cheerful. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. You are more than conquerors because Jesus has overcome the world and he's given you victory. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, I would just like for you to repeat after me. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for me. I accept you as my Lord in Jesus Christ. I believe that you sent your only Son and that he gave his life for me. I confess my sins and ask you to wipe my slate clean that I may live for you forever. I invite you in my heart to be my Savior and Lord. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, I would love to hear from you. It's important that you tell someone that you've prayed that prayer, because you are a new creature in Christ, and behold, all things are passed away. Be grateful. Be grateful, because he is so worthy all the praise.